The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There we go. Morning, everybody. Got to a Saturday. Always feels good. Saturday morning. It is the 27th of May, 2023. 710 Kane, U.S. Denver's talk station. And 77 will be the high. A lot of 70, 78 on Sunday. Back to work Monday. 80 degrees coming up, as always. The real highlight will be the reappearance of Joe Williams and Sandy Clough. And if you've listened in Denver radio for all of those years, there was no one better, sports talk, working again. But he and Joe come on this show, and they team up, and it's just a special, special hour. And I did want to do Jim Brown. And Jim Brown, I think most people know the life and times, but he was the running back, of course, of the Cleveland Browns in the National Football League. And I got to know him. He came to Denver a couple of times. He was, remember the old UFC, the fighting championships? Well, Jim Brown was the color man on UFC. And also I got to know him through a program that he had for kids that got in trouble. And he was taking kids out to Los Angeles and trying to have their lives straightened out. And I met him through Leon Kelly. And it was Jim Brown. I mean, what are you going to say as a young man growing up? The arch rivals of the Pittsburgh Steelers were the Cleveland Browns. Now it's turned into other teams between other rivalries, but it was the Browns. And watching Jim Brown play football. Well, with Joe and Sandy, and it won't just stay with Jim Brown. It's going to go everywhere. And I truly, truly love them both. And so Jim Brown, by the way, I was reading last night, ESPN's Sports Century in 1999 ranked Jim Brown fourth among the 50 greatest athletes of the 20th century. He trailed, you know what ought to be? It'd be a good trivia question. Who do you think he trailed? If Jim Brown was five, who were the top four? Wow. If Jim Brown was five, who were the top four? Sporting News selected Jim Brown as the greatest football player of all time. New York Daily News in 2014, November 4th, 2010, Jim Brown was chosen NFL Network's NFL Film Productions top 100 NFL greatest players, second greatest player in NFL history behind only Jerry Rice. And I have no business talking about sports, but I would have picked Jim Brown. And it says on January 13th, 2020, Jim Brown was named the greatest college football player of all time during a ceremony college football playoff national championship celebrating the 150th anniversary of college football. Jim Brown. So it got little, if any, acclaim. You know, it was a passing, and I thought, man, and you know, like I said, I had more than a handshake with him. We had lunch, and you just kind of sit back in awe. And the thing about guys like Jim Brown, he was a great storyteller. And he was sitting, he would just, you know, you could sit there and talk to him, and he would talk. And so we will talk with Sandy, and we will talk with Joe. And we will talk about Jim Brown. We'll talk about a lot more than Jim Brown. We'll talk about the life and times. So Sandy and Sandy, and that's at 11 o'clock. Lauren Boebert, what do you think? What are we watching here? And her son called the police on the father in months before the divorce filing. And she was the darling, and maybe still is the darling, of what's happening, what the will or what the wishes would be for Colorado politics. One of Boebert's teenage sons called 9/11 late last year saying that the dad, his name is Jason Boebert. I actually met him. We took the radio show up to their cafe and had breakfast and dinner up there on a remote. And he's throwing him around the house. Do we have the call? Do we have the call? All right, let's take a listen.
He's just like throwing me across the house. I don't know why he got mad. He just started yelling at me and he started throwing me.
Jason Boebert. All I wanted to say is me and my dad were starting to yell at each other. He didn't really get physical with me. It was just like I was overwhelmed. Me and my dad were over. Hang on.
Hi, I'm the mom.
Hi.
Okay, so there was an argument over dinner. I understand you guys got to come and talk to them. I'm down at our second location with. I was already here getting things ready for an event, but I don't know. I was talking to him and he had said that he had called. So just to let you know, I have him, his dad's up at the house.
Yeah. He had told me he was going to be down at the farmhouse and I've got him headed that way to help him.
It's the yeah. He doesn't need help, but they can come here. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't once you make a 911 phone call. That was one of the stories behind the Ramseys. If you remember how the Ramseys were treated as a power elite in Boulder, there was that the party when they had a party at their house, and someone called 911, and the cops came. This was way before the murder, and. Patsy, it was either Patsy or John, said, you don't have to come in. And they did not. Now, as the stories go, there could be somebody could be hiding behind that door with a gun. And unless the cops go in, but then you remember when Pat Boland's kid got jammed up. Remember the blood of the city. And the young woman called 911. She called Glendale 911. And he called him back and said, hey, you guys know, I'm the blood of the city. You don't have to come back. And they said, oh, yes, we do. And they did go. So Lauren Boebert gets his chance. She gets on the call and she said, I'm the mom. And she said, there's an argument over dinner. And he goes on to say, I understand that you guys got to come and talk to them. But I don't know. I was talking to him about her son. And he said he had called, and just to let you know, I have him. His dad is at the house. The dispatcher said the police were coming to help the boy, and Boebert said he doesn't need help, but they can come here if they want. Who is she now? And you can hear the cop conclude there's no crime at this time. The police records also show a welfare check that was conducted at the home the morning of the 2nd of January 2023, the day before the new Congress was supposed to be sworn in. Identified male told officers, we're good. Congressman Boebert was in D.C., had a meeting with Kevin McCarthy. It was the start of a long week, and court documents show that Jason Boebert was reportedly angry when he was served with divorce papers, yelling at the process server. Lauren Boebert denied that occurred and defended her estranged husband. Jason, a man I spent half of my life with, did not sign up to be in the public limelight. And he certainly did not agree to be falsely accused of things he didn't do. She's now a member of the Freedom House Freedom Caucus, which made its name for herself in Congress. Remember, she wanted to carry a gun at the Capitol, and she was heckling Joe Biden at the State of the Union. So she's placed herself in the spotlight. And when something like this happens, then the trouble will begin. But she calls the cops. Well, her son calls the police on the dad. And is he the son that has his girlfriend pregnant? I think he may be the second son. I don't think he's the older kid. I don't think he's the older boy. But are these things going to get her defeated? In the world we now live in, is this a world where you can survive? The other one is, what about in God We Trust license plates? Well, you know, in the story and how in God We Trust got on the money, but there's a story now in God We Trust. And in God, but in the God We Trust plate, well, what do you, in God We Trust, the license plate said, in God We Trust, the state offers a special group license plates with themes ranging from Italian-American heritage to supporting pollinators and foster families, Pueblo chilies, and troops, all individually authorized by state lawmakers, which in addition to dozens or more for alumni of various institutions, military veterans, and others. Colorado has more than 200 specialty license plates, and you can get one. In the In God We Trust plate has taken a life of its own. It's become a topic, a philosophical debate. Would reissuing such plates be unconstitutional? Remember, they're not there yet. Or an unconstitutional endorsement of religious negotiations? Huh. At the end of April, the bill has passed the Senate, crossed into the House. They had recruited different sponsors for it, and one of them is a pastor and one of the further right members of the caucus. Reading this, he said he was disliked by many Democrats because of his long speeches on abortion, on topics like abortion, and one he calls the Democrats fascists. They worry that having bottoms on the bill could hurt its chances. What about In God We Trust on a license plate? So there's a couple jump ball questions. Good morning, everyone. 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station. 77 will be the high. 78 on Sunday, and both of these have rain in the afternoon. And on Monday, it is 80. Lines are wide open, 303-696-1971. How does Lauren Boebert's future look? We were talking, and Jimmy's talking about how much money is coming in. I've heard more people talk about more money brought in. They want to knock her off, helping or hurting. But should Colorado get a set of In God We Trust license plates? And Joe Williams and Sandy Clough on the show. So good morning. Lines are wide open. It's going to start like this, so get in. Cowboy Moving and Storage, the recommended move. We go to cowboymoving.com and click on customer reviews. It's absolutely incredible. Over 1,500 reviews, a very positive Google rating of 4.9. It's unheard of. Customer reviews on the website. See for yourself why Cowboy is the recommended mover. Over 1,300 viewers reviews have been very positive on this. And I read this stuff now, getting deeper and deeper into computers and how things work or don't work. Family-owned, family-operated by the same family since 1968. Cowboy provides residential commercial moves through Colorado and can store your valuables as well. Cowboy can do load and holds for you, which basically means they come, they bring these really cool trailers. And it happens to all of us. You got to leave your current location before the new place is available. And then this is the storage service for you. So they load and they hold in a nice, you know, warm, dry place, and when the time comes, it's time to re-deliver. They then, and then everything comes back to your home or your new home. What really makes Cowboy the recommended mover is the men that do the job. Many of these guys have been with Cowboy for years. What truly makes the difference is moves to loads to holds to storage. Cowboy's been the recommended mover since 1968. They're my mover. They could be yours. Just ask them to give you an estimate. And don't come like the wind. This is what it's going to cost. Cowboy donates a portion of every move to Freedom Service Dogs. CowboyMoving.com, 303-789-2200. 303-789-2200. Get an estimate. They're their best. Cowboy Moving and Storage, our friends. 303-789-2200. We'll go to the phones here in just a minute. If you know the history of how In God We Trust got on the money in the 50s, it's a good story as well. So give me your first name, and we'll do this. Jay and Parker, you're on the radio show. Good morning. Thanks, man.
Hey, Peter. If the standard license plates for everyone, the cheapest ones, were In God You Trust, In God We Trust, I don't think that would be fair. You shouldn't impose that on people. If it's one of these things where you pay extra money, well, at this point, they have everything else. You might as well throw that in also.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the list, and it's I just got a black plate. They've brought back black plates, and I got one for my motorcycle. You paid, I think, $47 or whatever it was. But this movement to have In God We Trust. Is that the same? I'm sorry, go ahead.
On the money, they should not have it. They absolutely should not have it. They people have no alternative but to have that money, and they shouldn't have it.
Do you know where that comes from?
The anti-communist or something?
Yeah, very good. It was the Knights of Columbus.
And they shouldn't have it in the Pledge of Allegiance. If you look at the old versions of the Pledge of Allegiance before the 50s, they didn't have it either.
Did you ever see the pictures of how kids in school saluted prior to another group of – and they – the kids in this country did the straight arm, palm down, fingers extended salute. That was instead of – it wasn't your hand over your heart. They did what we would now look at like a Sieg Heil.
But that was before the Nazis.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, that was okay. I mean, what was the significance? That was just a form of saluting?
Yeah, it was really comes from, I think they took it from Rome. I think it was that Roman tribute. And the kids did the right hand. But then when the Nazis started it, like so many things, like the swastika, the symbol of swastika, then it gets usurped. It wasn't what it meant. But it was usurped by the Thule's, and then it becomes the symbol of the Nazis. But in God We Trust, it was during Eisenhower, during the Red Scares, and it was the Knights of Columbus. And they petitioned, and here's the for all the money and what's behind the curtain, who's the person? Well, I'll just answer the question. You remember Madeline Murray O'Hare?
Oh, sure, American Atheist.
There you go, yeah. Actually, I met her. She came, she was on a tour. She did the radio show. And she was the one. She and her son became evangelical.
And she got killed by her accountant, her bookkeeper.
It's absolutely true, out in the desert.
What was the Thule's?
The Thule Society, prior to... These people were always around in Europe, and there's a guy named Dietrich Eckhart who claimed that he invented Adolf Hitler and probably did. And then there was a woman by the name of Madame Bechovia Blavatsky, and they were the people that believed in eugenics. They believed that there was a hidden past to the Germans, and a lot of this... A lot of the Nazi philosophy comes from blood and soil, that there's something special about you as a German. And they invented the Teutonic Knights, and they invented a life before. And they also were believers in Atlantis, and they believed that the German people were set aside and had been the erosion of the lesser races, particularly Jews and the Undermenschen, the animal people. But the symbol of the Thule's is a swastika. You can see it, and they used it, and then Adolf Hitler took it. There's a real deep, and I'm drawn to reading about it, very deep philosophy. It wasn't just behind let's make Germany make steel mills again and let's all go to war. They had a philosophy of world conquest, and they were going to change things.
Why'd they take the swastika from the Asians if they were non-Caucasians?
Well, remember they sent SS into Tibet, and they were looking for these symbols because Blavatsky believed, and there were other people that they were called mystics, and they believed that they were taken up and they were shown the wisdom, the divine wisdom of the. That's why, you know, the SS had its own castle where they were going to develop these the real Superman was coming out of that. I mean, it's a breeding course. That's why when they believed in eugenics, you know, measuring heads and skulls, and
right,
there was a breeding program. They were breeding the perfect man. And believe it or not, the communists believed that they could develop a guileless human being that would be just so totally different, a different man, a new man, in fact, is what they called him. And he would not want more than this other man. And one of the things that causes problems is that Jay wants more than Peter out of life, or Jay wants a better car, or Jay wants a nicer home, or Jay wants, and I have to. My spirit must be broken, so that I can be totally satisfied working, you know, in a factory, going home to the same house that's across the street, the old line of we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. And so both organizations, the Nazis far more than the communists, but they believed that they could breed an absolutely new man. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
Can I ask you just a question about World War II, since you're so knowledgeable? If the Germans and the Russians never broke their alliance, they would have won the war, right?
Boy, that's the tough one, because the British were on their heels. There's no question about it. But Goering mishandles it, and they mishandle, it's called Operation Sea Lion, the invasion of Great Britain. And they have mishandled everything. They've mishandled the Blitz. They've, they've bombed the wrong cities. It's gotten away from them. But Adolf Hitler, when you read him, when you read Mein Kampf, he's always talking about, because that's the place where the perfect people are going to be bred, and that's where the place where they, I mean, when you read the SS, they're telling you they are going to have states in inside of Russia, inside of Soviet Union, that they are going to be, they're going to be feudal knights, they're going to be lords over, and they're going to, it's going to be a great place for the Germans farmers to go. Ich bin ein Bauer, I am a farmer. And they would be protected, and they would, the Serbs and the Slavs would be their slaves. He's writing about that stuff in Mein Kampf. He's saying, you know, that's because Eckhart and the Thule's, said, you know, that the real future for this greater Germany was in Russia and in Ukraine. And that's what makes this repetitiveness that we're watching today so amazing. But they said they want, that's where they wanted to go. And in fact, he believed, Adolf Hitler believed, that the British and the Germans, and to a degree this country, the Americans, that we were the we were the Aryan people. We were okay. And that's why Hess probably jumps into Scotland, is to make the deal. Like, hey, you know, you got this all screwed up. You know, we don't want to fight you guys. We actually want to be your allies. And by this time, it's way too late for Winston Churchill. But the grand plan of the Nazis is just staggering. They're going to get rid of churches. When I listen to people talk about them being Christians, yeah, they used Christianity. And the Christianity used them. But Adolf Hitler thought Christianity was weak, and the SS was, they were bred away from it, and they had very little, if any, use of Christianity. And, you know, Mussolini creates the Vatican. If it wasn't for Mussolini, there would be no Vatican.
Oh, wow.
And they make the deal, and that the Vatican State gets established because the Pope is being held in captivity, and they make the deal. And I mean, they're extremely smart. I mean, up to a point, and then they go.
There was no country of the Vatican City before Mussolini.
No, Mussolini creates the Vatican State.
I never knew this. Okay,
Victor Emmanuel's the king, and Badoglio, I think, was his son-in-law, and they create the Vatican State, and it's a, you know, it's a real smart move, and then he's no longer, and that was one of the early on parts of Pius and Mussolini, that he creates that, and I'm there. These guys are a lot like when in this now period of whatever I call myself, I can read these things. I get so drawn into it, and people bought into it. And tragically, I'm seeing people buy into all kinds of craziness today. But they would tell them these things. But next time you get a chance on some of that old footage from the 30s when the Germans are dressed like knights and they have the Templar crosses on them and their heads are covered and the maidens dance, and they have a whole school of what once was, and they're going to recapture it, and it's going to be, and he does it. I mean, he's actually on his way of doing it. When you read some of those great historians of the war, he came close. He came real close.
Yeah.
They could have pulled it off. And I mean, they were closer than we imagine.
Wow. Interesting. Well, thank you. You're a wealth of information.
Please, yeah.
I love listening to you.
Got nothing else to do. 303-696-1971. Good morning, everybody. Should we have In God We Trust on the license plates? And what about Lauren Boebert and Joe Williams and Sandy Clough are going to be on a gig? My friend David Ellis, I saw him this week. You heard me talk about valuables and how David Ellis's jewelers get fortunes in cash, and they take them and they're ready to secure appraisals for you from David for all the valuables that you have tucked away in your home. And it's true. So I'll share the other reasons to come to David. Once and again, just in case you don't have a Rolex watch, a rare set of rare coins or silver tea sets, once you go to David, for all your meaningful gift-giving occasions. David's Jewelers are just the right items at just the right prices for special people that mean the most. An antique watch, an emerald pendant, a gold necklace, a diamond ring, this trusted jeweler, and he is my guy, and he is trusted. Buying precious metals and antiques in Colorado for decades, and dazzling cases filled with hundreds of new and used pieces for your loved ones and people that you treasure. He is my friend. Visit David Ellis today. See for yourself. Look for the black awning on the corner of 3rd and Clayton and Cherry Creek. Experience DavidEllisJewelry.com. Call David, 303-322-8779, 303-322-8779, DavidEllisJewelry.com, and tell David that Peter Boyle sent you. Morning, everybody. 710 KNUS on a Saturday morning. I'm Peter Boyles. 77 would be the high, 78 on a Sunday. Monday, 80, Stephen Moreland was his name, is his name, Stevie Wonder. 80, back to work Monday. 7710, do it right, 710 KNUS, Denver's Talk Station, 303-696-1971. It's beautiful outside today. Coming up, Joe Williams and Sandy Clough on the Life and Times of Jim Brown. So I did this as a trivia question, and nobody pulled back the answer. ESPN Sports Century in 1999 ranks Jim Brown fourth among the 50 greatest athletes of the 20th century. Who were the three before him? Who were the three before him? And also, when I was reading last night on the story of getting In God We Trust on license plates, going back when I remember when this happened, I was a kid, 1956, and In God We Trust became the official national motto. What did it replace? What did it replace? And there's no license plate for that one. It's just on money, as Jim the Caller said. What I guess you'd call it a national motto. Of course you would. And what was the national motto? The plate is awaiting, or this bill is awaiting the governor's signature. And if it's signed, the plates go on sale in 2024 alongside the other new designs. But it's In God We Trust. Do you feel that on the plate? And as Jim pointed out, it had no business on the money, but it was in the heights of the Cold War, those of us who remember that. And UAC was in session, and the commies were being rooted out, and the Cold War was on, and they wanted to, there was the Knights of Columbus that wanted something to say precisely what it said, In God We Trust. And so I don't think there was much resistance. And then later along comes this woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare. And I was just starting out in the business, and she came down to KWBZ. And she was so so intense. And she had a son. I can't remember his name. And he went the other way on her, and then she was murdered, as the caller pointed out. And they found her in the desert. And she was her life had been taken. 303-696-1971. And so the story of God We Trust for license plates. Would you put one in your car? And is it doing the right thing? I'm going to tell you about Stack Optical, my good friend Alan Stack. Stack Optical, serving Denver since 1968. He's back with us, focusing on providing the highest quality standards of customer service. I had to get one lens changed, one lens. So I went over and hung with them. And they do work on appointments, so you're sure to call ahead before going in. And you got a difficult prescription, they can help. The on-site eyeglasses production lab delivers the best quality prescription sunglasses, sporting lenses, and eyeglasses. Everything I got, all my eyewear, from the motorcycle glasses, prescription ski goggles, sunglasses, you name it, Stack Optical has it for you. Located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, near South Monaco and Evans. You call them and ask for the $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578, 303-321-1578. And he is the best guy. I'm telling you, he is my guy. Visit them online, stackoptical.com. I got to get a sunglasses, new motorcycle glasses, sunglasses for my right side. Stackoptical.com, premier optical care, vision health. I recommend Alan. He was, just the superb guy, and they're back in the game. Call him up, make an appointment, 303-321-1578, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, please. All right, we have full lines. We go to Sean on line one. Sean, you're on a radio show, man. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm good.
I've just taken a stab. I'm not sure I heard everything because I just turned on the radio, but would it be E pluribus unum?
There you go. Very good. And what does it mean?
And then the other one. Yeah, doesn't it's something one for all or something? I should know. And
from,
I just, it's Latin.
From many one.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Yeah. There you go. Great saying. Great question. And then the other one on the greatest athletes of all time. I mean, I'm totally taking a stab, but I was going to say Bo Jackson, Jim Thorpe, and maybe Deion Sanders. Total stab in the dark.
No, none of those three. What the question
really?
Is, yeah, the question is, in 1999, Sports Century ranked Jim Brown as the fourth, they did 50 great athletes, do it right, Peter. He was ranked fourth. Who were the three ahead of him? You got the other one, man. That was great.
Yeah. Well, anyway, listen, I wanted to tell you that I've listened to you for a long time, and you were very kind to my brother, who is a big Indian motorcycle fan.
Oh, cool.
And while I don't agree with you on everything, I've always respected you and enjoyed your radio shows, and I hope you're doing well
yeah.
in your semi-retirement,
yeah.
and God bless you.
You're very kind, and thank you for what you just said. Thanks, man. It means a lot. Thank you. All right, we go to Tricia. Tricia, you're in a radio show. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Peter.
Hey.
I've been kind of putting together what you said about communism trying to recreate the human being,
uh-huh.
you know, and because of the motto, I think the motto is such a perfect opposition to that effort. And I'm certain that that's one of the reasons, not just the religious sentiment there, but the perfect opposition to what is a diabolical agenda to try and recreate a human being.
Well, if you think about it, if you're going to be a Marxist, that makes sense. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, Marx never, ever tells you what it's going to look like. It's up to you. He just has this kind of, at the end of all of his writings, and he's a pretty prolific writer, he writes from each according to his need and from each according to his ability. And so
mm-hmm.
you take care of me and I take care of you. But he knows who we are and that we are aggressive and we want, you know, all that we want. And that's the locomotive. And it gets a little bit more complex. Then coming after Karl Marx comes people like Robert Owen and Saint-Simon and Fortier. And these people were called utopians, and they were going.
Mm-hmm.
They were building these, these utopian communities. And then comes, all these Frankfurt School guys, and you can wade your way through it. But what they really are saying is, we need to change who we are. So.
Mm-hmm.
You won't want everything that goes with this this need, and your needs will be met, and
mm-hmm.
And you will be happy, and you will be peaceful, and we won't be tearing each other's throats out in the Ukraine this morning, and
there you go. Well, And the modern Marxists, the social Marxists of today, seem to be taking that a step further, and they're going to actually cause human sexuality and everything else to be malleable. And I think there's a real tie-in to the Marxist.
Marx is a prude. I mean, he's not. You can't find any of this stuff in Marx, or you can't
in his writing. No, I know, but it's the collectivism. It's the desire to recreate the person. That's the common thread. And so, if we can cause people, instead of having aspirational values, instead to just look at your impulses and just. Now, Karl Marx would not have approved of that necessarily, but it pursues the same purpose,
which is
the degradation of the human being.
But in some ways,
in some ways,
religion does the same thing. I have always said that, you know, if you look at the structure of Marxism, you'll see the structure of Western faith. There are, you know, sacred men, there are saints, there are prophets, there are holy books. There's a promise that goes with it. Marx carries a promise, and the promise is peace and prosperity, and, you know, we will love one another and we'll get along. That's the promise of Marxism. And Marx views this violent world that he's living in, this industrial world that he's living in, and he's trying to show you and me how the world can be a better place. And that's what Marxism really is. And when you look at it and say, it does make sense. I'll drive what something that looks like a Volkswagen. Maybe I'll drive a little electric car. Maybe I'll have my summer vacation taken care of. When my kids are sick, I don't have to worry about how much insurance is. You know, we will all pretty much eat the same food. And you create they call them the new man.
Buddha actually agreed with Marx in that need, the sense of need, neediness,
sure,
is what drives all the violence,
sure,
right?
But
the difference between religion, I want to make this point, difference between religion and Marx is that Marx gets there through suppression and degrading the human being, and religion gets there through channeling. So religion doesn't denounce the sexuality of the human being, but rather channels it into a form. Religion doesn't denounce ambition, but rather channels it into a constructive form.
I don't know, because I'm watching some crazy stuff right now, and it has to do with religion. Marx always sort of made sense because the other most important thing is Marx is a historian, and Marx applies Hegel's theories on how we get into tomorrow, and Hegel eventually ends up with a Godhead. But Marx ends up with something altogether different, and ends up with that what pulls us into tomorrow is...
Well, and this is why In God We Trust is so entirely oppositional to Marx.
Yeah.
Because in God we take and we accept man as he is, and we trust in something outside of ourselves.
Marx would never, ever. He saw... The great line of, you know, it's the opiate of the people, that idea that, you know, you may be working in this horrible situation in England or in a dram shop or something, but the church would come along and tell you there's heaven when you die. So you can, you know, the existence here on the earth, where it's, you know, you're working 7 days a week and you're working 12 hours a day and you have no rights and you have no health care and you have nothing and you just, you know, and you drop. But by God, when you die, you know, everything welcomes you and the heavens are there and it's great for you. So what he was saying was, and people like Nat Turner saw that, you know, with slavery in this country, that, you know, the so-called cabin in the sky, that, you know, you're as horrible, you can be bought and sold, all these kinds of things. But along would come the preachers and tell those men and women, no, hey, when you die, everything's going to be fine. and they told it to the Irish, and they told it to the British, and they, you know, and that was finally people had enough of, you know, the Tsar was going to save them, Father Tsar, and when that light goes on, whew, then nobody's safe, but you can't have the promise, and Karl Marx says, you can have heaven on earth right now. Mm-hmm. And to those early, you know, to those people that it, I mean, it's really appealing.
Well, and the power to create heaven on earth is embodied in the rulers. And this is the part that he doesn't really get into, does he? That who will embody the power
that's
to
his
cause
problem.
That to happen?
Well, that's his problem. Mm-hmm. He says it'll wilt away. Mm-hmm. In fact, he doesn't expect any violence. He just expects, you know, when everything melts away, and we are who we are these new humans, and there's no structure to what we have to do, and it's called the wilting away, because remember he said there are these people there is the proletariat, and then there, mm-hmm. the bourgeoisie, and then there's the crown heads, they're gone, the bourgeois, mm-hmm. gone, and then there is just us. And we understand each other, and we take care of each other, and that's why when they talked about Soviets, when you read Lenin's structure, they were Soviets. They were like big unions, and there was individual Soviets. If you get hung up on it. And you realize it looks absolutely wonderful, but the problem is it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they're denying the created nature of the human being, and no, I think everything that denies the created nature of the human being is doomed to failure.
But the Germans thought they could change it, and the Nazis thought they could change it, and the Japanese did change it. I remember the Japanese believed that this little man, Hirohito, was actually the son of heaven. People can believe almost anything.
Good
call. I love your call.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you.
All right. I can see this Saturday morning. I love it. 710 KNUS. It is 9:53, 7 minutes before the hour, May 27th, 2023. Peter Boyle's on the air everywhere, 710 KNUS. Thanks for being here. The weather's a good one. Saturday weather says we're going to get maybe some storms this afternoon, 78 Sunday, much the same Monday. This weather's been amazing. Everybody's grass is green, and some people say, man, I got to get the other mower out, cut the deep stuff. Joe Williams and Sandy Clough coming up. We do this with the fellows about every month and a half on Saturday. And there wasn't anybody better. And when it came to sports talk, it was Sandy and Joe and Irv, and go back to Dave Logan and everybody that was on or about. And Jim Brown, the legendary football player, passed away. And I wasn't qualified to talk about him as a sports figure, but I'd met him, and I had lunch with him, and he talked and told stories. And I thought, you know, we need to do just, you know, something, a tribute to Jim Brown. And the guys will come on, and it'll be Jim Brown for about 15 minutes, and then it'll Katie bar the door. But so I'm reading, I'm getting a lot of, and nobody hit it. ESPN, the Sports Century of 1999, ranked Jim Brown fourth, the 50 greatest athletes of the 20th century. He trailed Muhammad Ali, Babe Ruth, and Michael Jordan. That's according to their vote. Again, Muhammad Ali, again, these are all these very complex legendary characters. Babe Ruth and Michael Jordan, of those three pick, who would you pick? Man, I mean, I've read books about all of them, and they're all equally complex. They're not, and again, with you add Jim Brown to that mix, and there's four really complex human beings that have these great gifts. Of those four, who would you choose? Who would be the tragic? Ruth was somewhat tragic. Muhammad, obviously. staying too long and fighting too long. Michael Jordan probably shines. And Jim Brown. Jim Brown really did it his way, too. But Ruth and Muhammad, when you see them all, you know, beaten men, when Ruth is saying his goodbye, and when Muhammad comes out for the at the Olympics, and there's that guy. And I'm a huge Muhammad fan, and I'm a huge Ruth fan. What's the great story they tell about when the newspaper writers would travel on the trains with the ball players, and down the middle aisle came Babe Ruth running nude with a woman chasing him with a knife. And one of the old sports writers says the other, another story we won't be covering, because they protected those guys. Unlike today, they protected them. And I don't know if it was a good or a bad thing. Folks on the phones, you want? I tell you, why don't you put them? Why don't we do that? You want to do a turn, Joe? All right, you want to do it now? What? Tell me what to do, and we'll do it. Lou, you're up. What do you want to do? Take a break. All right. I'm Peter Boyles. Back with your calls right after this on 710 KNUS.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.